Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl.
Today, I want to start us off by telling you a little bit about our most powerful resource. It's our signature online course, and it's called The Attunement Reset. I'm going to go over some basics about this course so you know what's included, and we're also going to hear from one of our course participants so you can get a better sense of what it's like to experience this course and how it could bless and change your life. So, what is The Attunement Reset? The Attunement Reset is a faith-based intuitive eating course created by my podcast co-host, Charlie Castle. This is an 11-week program for Christian women to feel comfortable in their bodies and confident in their food and exercise choices. This is our most comprehensive and in-depth course in the catalog. It offers a deep dive into the principles of intuitive eating. Inside of the course, our students have learning modules that include video teachings, workbooks that include Bible study, and guided Christian meditations to help them go deep with that week's content. Then we get together each week for a group coaching call, and that's where you get to ask your own questions and get coached through your own struggles for the week. Plus, you get to learn alongside other women as they ask their questions and get feedback on their sticking points too. It is a supportive, encouraging environment and my favorite part of the course. Now let's hear from one of our course participants, Tara, as she shares about her experience going through the Attunement Reset.
I truly believe that my body and my size had to be this specific shape, and realizing that that in fact wasn't what God was asking me to do was like totally flipped my brain upside down, because I really had gotten myself convinced that that's what my calling was to get this perfect body, to be perfect for the world, for God. Fast forward, realizing that I had anorexia, understanding there was this huge eating component to it. I had tried to do the intuitive eating on my own with just the book. And it was like, okay, I get these principles. They sound good. Like my intellectual brain can comprehend them, but my heart and my emotions could not wrap around how to practice them. So you told me about the group, and I was like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I need to go through in more detail and apply this to my life. And so I was able to start, once I started with the group, it started with like intense fear, getting back to what I was thinking of at the beginning, intense fear of food, like just fear to eat, fear of food, how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, all those things. And then a lot of it was just walking through step by step those principles. Every week, having the workbook was awesome. The workbooks were so good. So I had something I could kind of focus on every day, and I could go at my own pace. So I could do as much as I needed or as little as I needed in the day and where I was feeling. And then being able to come together on the group call and kind of walk through it and talk about it, see where other people were going, and then have my thoughts and feelings, like, you know, bounce them off you and Erin, and then you guys be able to really kind of guide us through on how to live these principles in our daily lives and make sense of them. Like, okay, so this is my heart and this is how I feel, but now how do I make this work with kids and life and jobs and fears and emotions and stresses? And also, I think a huge piece of it was cutting through the deceptions and the lies, like recognizing the diet culture, recognizing the lies, being able to find the scriptures and the truths to pull out when we start to fall back into those. So in the beginning, it was, I needed the group, I needed you, I needed the people to help see and notice those things. And then by the end, it's like, oh, the knowledge is now in my heart. And I'm working with God and Holy Spirit to be able to do this on my own now. And so that having that like week by week walking through it, the fear and the anxiety over food and eating gone, the fear and anxiety over having it be a diet plan and getting it all right gone. So that was like, I think that was the beauty of it, was that it's a process and it takes time. And if we don't walk through the process and we try to rush it, or we try to push through it or force it on us, it doesn't work. But walking with this, with you and other women who were walking through it together, it was just like, I just had this community of all of you just like holding me week by week. And whatever would come up or whatever challenges would face, we could talk about them, work through them. And then they would become part of me. And I can now kind of continue it on my own, which is awesome.
This kind of experience of learning and healing and growth is available to you too in our signature course, The Attunement Reset. You can get all of the course details and our schedule for enrollment over on the podcast website. It's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com. We would be honored to walk with you and coach you through putting faith-based intuitive eating into practice in your life. Welcome back, friends. Thank you for joining us. Today on the Intuitive Eating for Christian Women podcast, our guest is Amanda Reynolds, and she's going to be sharing her story with us of moving from a posture of control to surrender in her health. She's also going to walk us through her experience navigating intuitive eating principles with a specific health condition. Amanda wants others to experience God's grace, peace, and joy in all areas. With 10 plus years of fitness experience from college athletics to fitness instruction, she is currently teaching women in substance abuse recovery, as well as being a wife and mom and joyful health coach. Before we get into our conversation today with Amanda Reynolds, let me remind you, for all of our podcast episodes, this program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you see how those principles align with Scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good. All right, let's go talk with Amanda. Hey, good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
We're excited to have you here today.
Yes.
I want you to take us back to the beginning and hit us with your God story and your food story, and just go with whichever one started the farthest back for you.
Yeah. Oh, man. I would say my story probably started a long time ago just with me being an overachiever and an overthinker. My whole life, I grew up in a Christian home. I knew mentally all of the right things. I knew I was worthy. I knew that I was a child of God. I knew so many foundational truths, which I'm so thankful for. But I've always just had this inner like push to do more, to be more. And so I feel like my whole like high school years, college years, I was constantly in this like striving cycle where nothing was enough. Like I wasn't small enough. I wasn't healthy enough. I wasn't strong enough. Was I making good enough grades? Like what was enough for me? And the answer was like nothing was enough. I wanted to just keep being better and better and better at things. And so ultimately it was a heart issue even at those ages. And I felt like I was just trying to do it all on my own. You know what I mean? Like I knew that God was my savior. I knew that I relied on him, but really did I? Like, was I living that way? So I continued in that cycle. And then in my early 20s, I'd finally gotten out of college. I'd survived all this driving craziness. I don't know how I did. But it all eventually caught up to me. I got my first teaching job when I was 22, as an elementary teacher. And I thought, oh, like, this is it. I've arrived. This is the job I want. I'm engaged. Everything is just lining up the way I want it to. And at that point in my life is when I started having some health issues and started having some kidney problems. And I also experienced a broken engagement at that time, like 2 months before the wedding. And so things were just kind of falling apart and I couldn't really fix the pieces this time. Like I couldn't do it on my own. And so I had to step back. And at that point I was like, okay, this is all too much for me. Like all this striving, all of this trying to have the perfect health is not working out because my health is falling apart and I can't get it under control. I can't get my relationships under control. My job wasn't even going that great. It was much more stressful and harder than I ever thought it would be. And so that at that point in time is when I really had to put on the brakes and had to learn how to surrender and how to be okay with not being enough, right? And things being messy and broken and just surrendering to God and letting Him fill in those pieces.
That's such a hard lesson to learn, but like what a gift it is when you learn it.
Yes.
I so relate to that. Char, sorry, you were going to say something.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's so I feel like we all have this story of being like broken down.
I'm
like, okay, obviously I can't control everything and I need to let this go.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, too bad we can't learn that lesson once and then be done with it. But I feel like it still pops up in my life. I'm still constantly fighting this battle of trying to do it all, trying to be too much, trying to be the perfect mom, trying to do all the things. And then I get to this broken down place where I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to surrender. Like, why do I keep learning this lesson the hard way?
So what's your relationship with food like during all of this?
Yeah, so I would say, like, in high school, I wanted to be smaller and I wanted to diet, but I never dabbled into that in high school. I loved food way too much. And so fortunately, looking back, like, I had a pretty healthy relationship with food in high school. And then in college is where things started to kind of change and I was exposed to other girls eating lots of diet foods that I'd never really been around. And so I quickly discovered that path. And I was like, ooh, like diet Dr. Pepper and diet lean cuisines and all those things became like the new norm. But I didn't feel like any of those things were really like bringing me the success that I wanted with my body or the results. And so that quickly morphed into like, well, those diet foods aren't healthy enough. And so then I started going down this like, how healthy can I be? Like, I analyzed every little ingredient in food and I was afraid of this kind of oil or this kind of artificial sweetener or dye. It just became such an obsession with how healthy can I be, you know? And really, I think looking back at, well, I know looking back, but a lot of that was just trying to find some sort of control and using food as that mechanism.
Yeah.
So maybe some orthorexia there.
Is there? Is there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So go. I hear a control issue and I just want to pop in really quick. So I'm wondering, Amanda, so when you recognize the need to surrender, was there something that the Lord used to speak that to you? Was it kind of, I'm just curious, and I want to hear more about like what it looked like for you to have that realization. And then once you had the realization, what did it look like to kind of respond to that? Like, what did letting go of control or surrendering look like for you?
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish I could say it was quick, but it was a long process. It was definitely a lot of days just feeling defeated, having to sit in my feelings and know that I couldn't do anything to necessarily make them better. I had to just sit with them, with the Lord, and let Him be my healer. And that wasn't comfortable. It was a lot of uncomfortable moments, a lot of also relying on Him through other people at times. And that was something that was very hard for me to admit that, oh yeah, like I need you to help me in this area. I need this friend. I need this counselor. I need this doctor. And I think as a Christian, sometimes I felt like, well, I should only need God. My faith should be strong enough to help me get through all these things just with the Lord. And that in itself was not true surrender, because I wasn't surrendering to God's full gamut of help that He could provide me. All the things within my community and within my reach that were the resources he was giving to me. I was like the older son in the prodigal son story, where the younger son comes home and he gets a party from his dad and he gets all these things. And the older son is like, I've been here the whole time and you've never even given me a goat. And the dad says, hey, like all that is mine has been yours. And I think at times in my life, definitely back then and even still now, I was living in a way where I wasn't taking advantage of all that my father was giving me, and all that was his, I wasn't using as mine, you know? And there were so many resources that I just didn't claim.
I am so happy that you're talking about this, Amanda. There are people that needed to hear, like, God is trying to work through other people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let them bless you.
Yes. Oh, it's so hard.
It doesn't mean you're weak. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have failed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to use people in your life, and you're doing those people a disservice when you don't allow them to bless you. If they're trying to do what God's asking them to do,
mm-hmm.
and you're stopping them from doing that, somebody needed to hear that today.
I think it was
you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. And I was not less of a Christian because you need a counselor and a medical doctor and friends, mm-hmm. and you need medications, mm-hmm. or you know what I mean? God works through all of that.
Yeah.
God works through ugly, evil things.
Mm-hmm.
He turns those ugly, evil things into good things. Like, God works through all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I just want to call that out because, like the way you phrased it, Amanda, it's like, I should only need God. Like, that's one of these shoulds. Like, mm-hmm. Of course we need God. Of course we need God first. But like, letting that be to the exclusion of all the amazing resources and gifts and people He's put in our paths is such a, it's just such a lie. It's so wrong. I don't know where that came from, but like, let's get rid of it. Like, I should be able to pray and boom, that's it. Like, no.
Man.
You should be praying and you should be asking. You definitely need God, but that is not all he has. He is so generous. He wants to give you all of these resources and these people and this love and like receiving. I think this is something that he's been speaking to me lately on, like receiving love from him as like part of the healing. And it's definitely something I think I even heard you guys talk about it, Amanda, on your episode on Joyful Health Show, like just like the controlled closed fist versus open hand of receiving. It's just this picture of like how we don't even let God all the way in when we're trying to control everything. And it's like he wants to come in, and also all these other gifts and blessings he's going to just pour into us that we get, that we're cutting ourselves off from when it's like this, oh, it should be this one way. It's like, no. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. I love that so much. Thank you. I'm so glad this came up. This is amazing. This is great timing. Surrender. Yeah.
Yes. Oof.
Surrender and being open to receiving. Like, I feel like that is a constant. I need that as like a soundtrack constantly. And he constantly reminds us that it's so big, but it's also daily. It's just.
Yes. I feel like and maybe it's in America, our culture specifically, like we just have this independent way of living where we're not living in like a community like it's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's hard.
Definitely.
I'm a huge season of like allowing people to help me.
Yes.
And I mean, thankfully, like I have a lovely community. My husband's family is close. I have his aunt, my mother-in-law that help with the kids, my uncle, like everybody steps in and helps with picking kids up or watching kids when they're sick so I can work or whatever that looks like. And then Aaron has done so much helping, heavy lifting of keeping things going in this season. And I've had so many conversations with so many people. It can be so hard to say, like, okay, I'm going to let them help.
Yeah.
Because our culture tells us this script that we are supposed to be self-sufficient and we're supposed to be able to do it all on our own. And like, So I have been learning so much in this season of just like accepting people's help.
Yes. Nothing will teach you that more than parenthood.
Yeah.
Man, that completely just opens your eyes to the fact that you can't do it all.
Yeah.
As we aren't supposed to be, you know, like people for generations never raise children in a vacuum. They always raise children in a community. And that it just constantly is showing me that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's go back to you're an elementary school teacher having kidney issues. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So for years, they couldn't figure out what it was. And they just kind of treated it like bladder infections. And so I would get antibiotics for years, even though like they weren't doing anything. And so looking back, I'm kind of like, oh, I shouldn't have taken all those antibiotics. But I did because we didn't know what it was. And finally, after about 3 years, a doctor diagnosed me with interstitial cystitis. Kind of hard to say, but he diagnosed me with that finally. And it was basically just like inflammation of the kidneys and bladder. And so I had to cut out all acidic food for a while. So it was coffee, soda, spices, tomato products, all my favorite foods, like everything that I loved, pizza, Mexican, all of that. I had to cut out for a while, and then I took some medicines and stuff, and finally started to see some change and see some relief. But oof, that was not fun. And that was when I was already in the midst of being over controlling with my food and worried about my food. And now I had to think about my food even more and restrict my food even more. And I just was like, what in the world is happening? Like, in the middle of struggling with everything else, now I've got this other huge struggle to deal with. But God helps me through that, because he showed me, like, the things that are left that you can eat, you're just going to have to not be so picky, and you're going to have to enjoy those, and you're going to have to not worry about the ingredients in those foods. So I came to enjoy, like, Teddy Grahams and all these little, like, foods that were on my do not eat list at the time. I was like, well, those are acceptable in my acid, low acidity diet, so I'm just going to enjoy them. Because I was kind of forced to. I didn't have many options, so.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't even have with a doctor.
Yeah, and I couldn't even have a lot of fruits. A lot of fruits were off limits for a while. And so that was opening to me, because I was like, what? Like, I can't even have all these healthy foods. And so I was kind of forced in my head to eat unhealthy stuff, which was really so healing for me, because it forced me to realize, like, oh, what's going to happen to me if I eat all this food? Nothing bad is happening. Like, my health is actually getting better. So that was a really, really good lesson for me.
Isn't that such a good, like, interesting point to, like, everybody's body is different and people experience different things in their body that you might need different, like, medical nutrition therapy for. And so, you know, what's going to affect your body this way is different than what's going to affect my body. And so, like, what's healthy for you is so relative.
There's a lot
going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So how long did you have to follow this diet?
Well, I'm supposed to technically always be following this diet to an extent.
Okay.
But the way interstitial cystitis works, they told me, they were like, well, there's not really a cure. So it's kind of just a lifestyle management type thing. And it comes and goes. So it'll flare up, it'll get better. And a lot of it is centered around stress. And so I noticed that when I am super stressed, like, maybe I also need to be aware of, like, the acidic foods that I'm eating. Which is such a double-edged sword, because that's when I crave, like, comfort foods, you know what I mean? Like Mexican pizza and Coke and all those fun things, which there's nothing wrong with having those fun things, but when it's affecting my health, I have to be like, oh, this is hurting my kidneys. I need to step back from this, you know? So yeah. What was your question again? Because I just got to rambling and completely forgot the question. No.
I mean, we're pretty much talking about gentle nutrition here. So I was
asking, yes.
You had to follow for a short period of time, or is it a long term?
Yeah.
Such a good example of what gentle nutrition is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Amanda, it sounds like you have been listening to your body and kind of experimenting and, you know, recognizing, actually, you know, I think that stress impacts this more than what I'm eating. Like, that is more so. And then I can recognize some foods that maybe do bother it if I'm in a flare up. And so it sounds like you're kind of learning when maybe to back off a little bit, when it's okay to indulge, and kind of what you can get rid of without feeling restricted.
Mm-hmm.
What's like a, no, I'm going to have this because I don't want to feel that restriction.
Yeah. And that was hard for me, because over the years, I've really been learning about intuitive eating and trying to live in that lifestyle. And so I've gotten to the place where, okay, all foods are allowed. And then I have to get to the place where it's like, oh, but these foods aren't allowed for me, and I have to be okay with that and still respect my body at that time. And so it's hard, because I can get in the mindset of, oh, pitiful me. Like, I can't have that food. And I get all mad. And then it makes me want that food even more. But then I have to step back and be like, I can have that food later, just not right now. You know, just like reframing that mindset and writing down like, okay, I might not can eat that food right now, but here's a list of all the other foods that I can eat. And so that helps me, but sometimes it's hard. It's really hard to balance the intuitive eating when I have that like medical restriction with some foods.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's the way of looking at it as like the do and do not, can and cannot, good
and bad.
That's it. All foods are allowable. You have permission to eat any foods that you want. You truly do have permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have to remind myself that, but
yet
making a choice. You're making a choice to not have those foods right now because you want to feel good.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that mind shift, so I know this isn't coaching, but here I am.
Yeah, no, I welcome it.
Like,
I definitely welcome it.
Like that mindset shift might really help. You know, I can't have this right now, but I can have it later.
Yeah, no.
Maybe like I can have this if I want to. And I'm going to choose not to because I don't want my kidneys to be upset.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I like that. Reframing it as a choice. It's good.
I think that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Amanda, I'm curious about how like the stress management and movement piece were playing into kind of letting your body heal and giving some love and care to the kidney issue. What about?
Yeah. Oh, that was huge because I'd always been in some ways addicted to exercise, especially in college. I cheered in college and I just had always been active, like from early childhood on, like exercise was just always a big part of my life. And so when I started having the bladder and kidney issues, one big thing, and especially I was teaching at that time. And so I was on my feet all day long and walking around all day long. And a lot of the research was saying that rest was super important for this condition because it helped your body heal. And, you know, low impact exercise, which I was kind of like, what? Like, I need cardio. That was, you know, I was still a product of the 90s, like Tybo and hardcore cardio aerobics stage. So having to pull back on that was really different for me and difficult. And I ended up like falling in love with walking. At times I felt kind of like, I don't know, I was being weak because all I was doing was walking. And I had to reframe that and be like, no, like I'm walking and this is good enough for my body right now. This is really good for my body and it's healing and it's stress reducing and it's enough. Like it is enough for my body. I don't have to be doing, I don't have to be running. I don't have to be doing jumping jacks. I don't have to be doing HIIT or all of these like hardcore exercises for it to still count as good movements. So that was, oof. It was a forced season for me with exercise, which ended up being so healing for me.
I love it when other people fall in love with walking. That's my personal favorite. Yes. Oh, I think it's so funny. How many stories, Char, have we heard? Yours included. I mean, like, the Lord will shake up your movement situation and, like, what beautiful gifts come out of that. Like, fall, like you said it, falling in love with something. And, like, at the same time, that was, like, really healing and probably wonderful for your kidneys. Like, what a gift. What we think is good and then what God thinks is good.
Anyways,
better every time.
Yes.
I love
every time.
The whole counting is exercise point is something that I think is a big mindset shift that a lot of us are struggling to get our heads around, just because it's so loud in culture of what exercise has to look like. This picture
Absolutely.
Of extreme stuff, and especially once you get in it. And like you're saying, somebody like you who's moved their whole life, like, of course you think that, but look at the lived experience you have of that, not only being untrue, but being harmful for your body. And now you have this other thing that you actually enjoy that is wonderful for your body. I just, I love it when there's a big, like, almost like pull the rug out. It's so much better this way.
Yes.
Kind of contrast that just makes me smile every time.
Yes. I love it. It's funny because I don't remember all the details, but there was this research study where exercise, like the typical like cultural recommendation for exercise, like 30 minutes, a pretty hard exercise 3 to 5 times a week, was beneficial, but what was actually more beneficial than that were just your activities of daily living. If you were pretty, pretty like mobile and moved around and walked a lot throughout the day and cleaned your house, you know what I mean? Just not like sitting a lot. And the study found that that was the secret sauce. That's so beneficial for your health to just move around a lot.
I always remember I had this professor in college, and oh my gosh, she was a woman that was like so intelligent that you would have a hard time. Like she'd be trying to, she knew so much that it was like she was 4 steps ahead of you, and she would stop to think because she wanted to say it in a way you would understand. And
yes.
You know, like we would get so frustrated with her. And I think of like all these different little things that she said the few years that I was with her. And now I'm like, I want to talk to her. Like you like were so ahead of the program, the times. Like I'm telling you, she knew like health at every size, intuitive eating stuff. She never said it.
Yeah.
She never said it that way. But like right. She was always planting all these little seeds. Like she would always say things like, do you think it's going to be beneficial to help your client start this like high intensity 3-day a week workout? Or like, do you think it might be better for them if you just find ways to make their everyday life more active? Like,
yeah.
She would always say these little things. And I remember being like, no, that's stupid.
Like, right.
I was so in this like extreme everything.
Yeah.
And she was just so wise. She taught us so much. And I just always, I always think of her little soul. Like we were this classroom full of these people that were just probably 60% of us had eating disorders and
right.
exercise and
oh, yeah. not,
you know, we knew. And she just so gently would plant all these little seeds.
What a blessing. I bet you're like, can I go back to her class?
I know. I know.
Oh, man. Oh. Things we think we know, right? Oh,
yeah. Everything is about what is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. you know, your life's not always going to look the same. There are certainly different seasons and things like that in life. But, you know, you really want to think about behavior changes and, you know, making changes in your life that feel sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely. I love that.
So, Amanda, I want to know what all this looks like for you today and, like, the season you're in now. Like, what's a typical day? How's the relationship with food and movement? And especially since you've got kiddos, like, that's a totally different season. So, like,
oh, yeah.
It's just a little glimpse into that. What's
life? Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, a lot of days it feels chaotic, but it's a beautiful chaos. So I work from home now. I work part-time and also help with Joyful Health and coach with them. And so a lot of my days, now both of my girls are school-aged. They're 10, about to be 10 and 7, so they're getting on up there in age. So I do have the school day to kind of have some time at home. I work and I try as I'm working to stand up periodically to walk around the house. Getting used to this working from home lifestyle is a lot different because, you know, I'm here with my kitchen all day long. So I have access to food all day long while I'm working. And so that's been different for me because normally if I were at the office, it would be a completely different situation. So I'm getting used to that. I'm getting used to the fact that like over lunch, I can easily jump in there and make a grilled cheese or, you know, throw something in the oven. So that's been good. And then exercise, I feel like at this stage in my life is a lot less routine and planned out and a lot more spontaneous, either with the kids or at one of their ball practices. I might walk around the field while they're practicing, just getting in that movement where I can. And a lot of times with them is how I get in my movement. And so it's totally different than my life looked 10 years ago, but God seems to find ways and times to allow me to have movement and allow me to just be blessed by that. And so I'm having to learn to take advantage and to be grateful for those opportunities.
All right. So I'm going to push you on the spot a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm going to know, what was the last encounter with surrender?
Oh, I don't need
to surrender anything.
Oh, yeah. Last night, because my oldest daughter, she can be challenging. She probably is a lot like me. And so that's why it's a challenge for us. But she can be very hard on herself. And right now she's learning gymnastics and there's this skill that she's had for months. And now all of a sudden she's convinced herself she can't do it. And she's blocked and she's just like telling herself all these lies. And so last night I was just getting on to her and I was like, you've had this for months. Like, I'm tired of hearing you tell yourself these lies. You are strong. You are capable. And then I went to bed and I was feeling defeated as a mom and feeling like I just was losing my patience with her and getting too angry. And then I felt this nudge from God that was like, hey, like, you're also telling yourself the same lies that she was telling herself. Like, it was just a full circle kind of moment and God going, you don't have to be perfect. I'm here to help you in this, in whatever you're doing. And oh, man, just, yeah, constant cycle of surrender, I feel like, in my life.
Man, I love that.
Oh, those little whispers and nudges and reminders, they're the best. Because, like, my goodness, yeah. I feel like when I get those, it's like, well, I did not, like, that was not on my radar.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I did not see that.
So right. It's kind in how he points stuff out. It's so loving. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Very gentle, not like I can be as a parent sometimes when I'm like yelling and forcing things in their head. God is so much better than that. So much better.
Cycle of surrender too. I love how you put it with that. That's really good. I
I think that's a really good description, because I definitely feel like we'll start in a good spot with it. And like, you're in alignment and it's good and you're beginning of the cycle, and then you kind of start moving away from it. And like, the world starts sucking you out into the drift. And we have to like come back to that place regularly, all the time.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Moment by moment sometimes.
Absolutely.
So what is your preferred method to kind of like, what helps you to stay and to come back to that heart posture of surrender with the Lord? And just what does that look like for you right now?
Yeah. A lot of times just sitting down and journaling. I heard this thing the other day and I've been trying it. And it's interesting. You journal, but you're journaling so fast in a way that you're not actually writing out the words. I know that sounds weird, but you're not actually writing out the words. It's kind of more of just like a stream of consciousness kind of thought journaling. And that's been helpful, because it's pretty much just God knows your words when you're writing it that way. And so just being able to sit down with Him and just present my feelings before Him and stop and notice, like, where do I need some comfort and care? Because I'm not being very comforting and caring with other people. And so having to return to that place and stop and be like, okay, these are the areas that I have needs that need to be met, that I'm overlooking, and I need them met from you, Lord, or from others, so that I can be the child you want me to be, so that I can be fruitful, so that I can live out my purpose for you. And it's a lot of times I felt like I'm kind of forced to get to that place in life because it gets hard. And so it forces me to go back to that place. But I wish that every day I could start at that place, you know.
That's so good. I've used a journaling technique like that probably the last time I had a regular journaling practice, which has been years, but I loved mm-hmm. it too. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful for just literally, I would think of it as just like, I'm pouring it out. I'm going to leave it here. Mm-hmm. It's coming out. There it is. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was a lot more able to be still and sit in feelings and listen once I'd gotten that out. Because otherwise, I'm just sitting there and it, you know, squirrels fighting in your brain.
Yes.
So that was a really good technique for me. I think we're probably really similar in terms of that, Amanda, because I definitely am like, overachiever, overthinker, like you described yourself in the beginning. I'm like, check, check. That's so funny. I love that you use that technique. That's so great. There's so many different ways that we can get ourselves there too, and I love hearing how everybody's kind of spiritual practices and disciplines they vary as much as we do. So it's always just it's like one of those questions I like to ask now. That might be up there with our regular question if we're ready.
Yeah.
Before we do though, I want you to tell everybody where to connect with you, a little bit about what's going on with your work and Joyful Health. And so just tell us all of that, and then we'll wrap up with some fun questions.
Yeah. So I'm coach with Joyful Health, and Aubrey Golbeck and Casey Sheeler are the founders of that. And they offer courses and all sorts of awesome, you know, resources to help women with overcoming body shame and just finding food freedom through grace. And so it's a privilege that I get to work with them. I met Casey through Revelation Wellness. We're both Revelation Wellness fitness instructors. And so it's been a joy to become her friend and to get to know them. And then I have a book out there called Good to Grow. And it's just about cultivating the soil of your heart so that the weeds of fear and lies and distractions and control can get out of your heart, so that God can grow more and the fruit can just be more apparent in all aspects of our life, including our body and food. So that's my passion project. And I have a podcast where I'm actually like reading each chapter on the podcast. So that's new, and that's That's been fun to do. And then on my website, well-way.net, I just blog occasionally and post resources. So yeah, that's what I'm up to these days.
What's the podcast called?
It's called Good to Grow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just love that title and the nature metaphor there. It's so right up our alley. That sounds like a good book for book club. We'll talk about that later. But I'm like, I'm going to be needing to read that. So where can we get that on your website, or is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, I will start with the question we ask all of our guests,
okay,
which is coffee or tea, and how do you take it?
Oh, hands down coffee, like hands down. I used to be a hot coffee drinker, but now I'm a convert to the cold brew, is what I prefer now, which I have to be careful and dilute it because that stuff is strong. So I drink cold brew, and I'm definitely a cream kind of girl. I am not a straight black coffee kind of girl. Never have been, never will be. Well, I shouldn't say never, but at this point in my life, give me some good, tasty, flavored cream. So, yeah.
I love it. I just, sidebar. I just was grocery shopping, and they had the brand of creamer that I love already had their pumpkin spice out. I get it. This is so basic. But I was like, I am buying that and sticking in the fridge because it is going to disappear.
Right.
We enjoyed that in the fall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So you taught elementary school. What grade did you teach?
Second grade.
Did you love it?
Oh, I loved parts of it.
Man.
And then there were a lot of parts that, were hard, really hard.
Okay, so you have a 7 and a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. What would be just the quick off the top of your head advice that you would give to a mom of girls when it comes to food or body?
Oh, wow. Oh, modeling a good healthy attitude around food in your body. It's not always easy. And just admitting to them when you mess up and when you're struggling, because them knowing that you're not perfect and you're not going to be perfect in how you eat or how you always feel about yourself is normal, and it makes them feel more normal.
What's your family's favorite food right now?
Oh my goodness. My kids are definitely in the typical kid pizza phase. They could eat pizza all the time. So yeah, they love it. So cliche, but yeah, that's definitely a family favorite.
Normal. Yep, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys cook together?
My 7-year-old loves to help me cook, so that's fun. But yeah, my oldest, she can take it or leave it.
Do you have any pets at home?
Yes. Oh, we have 2 dogs. We got a puppy last Christmas. So I fell into the trap of, yes, we can have a puppy. And boy, like going from 1 to 2 dogs has been a lot. And our second dog is a big boy. He's a Australian Shepherd poodle, an Aussie doodle. Ooh, he's a lot.
Go, you girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who has the puppy chores?
It a lot of times ends back up with me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Supposed to have the puppy chores.
Yes. They all had such good intentions when they said they wanted a puppy. But yeah.
Oh, I love it. What's your family's favorite holiday to celebrate?
Oh, Christmas. Definitely Christmas. Yeah. They love all the things, all the traditions, all the things. Yeah.
What are you reading in the Bible right now?
Yeah. Good question. So I work with a women's addiction recovery. I volunteer with them. And so we're working through just the gospel right now, and going through like it's not a 12-step program that we do, but we're kind of going through like 12 lessons with Jesus. And so that's where we're at right now. Yeah.
Right. I love it. That's awesome. Is that something you do locally or virtually?
Locally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. Well, Amanda, it has been such a blessing to get to know you a little bit. Any friend of Aubrey and Casey is a friend of ours, right?
Yeah, they're amazing.
So good. Just a shout out to Joyful Health. Go check that out, people. If you have not, it's lovely.
That's nice.
Yeah. Would you pray us out, Amanda?
Absolutely. I would love to. God, thank you so much just for this opportunity and for allowing us to chat with each other and for your Holy Spirit that's in each one of us to just intertwine us and to connect us, God. And we thank you for your revelations that you give to us. We thank you for your gentle leading and guidance and nudges that you give us on a daily basis. And Lord, as we surrender before you, God, we just ask that our eyes will be open to all the resources that you provide for us, just through other people and through books and through doctors and medicine. God, we thank you for being such a generous God and for helping us and for giving each one of us what we need. And we just ask, Lord, that we can walk hand in hand with you and just be aware of how you're leading us, God. And we thank you so much for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. Before you go, let me ask you this. Are you looking for a little extra help on your own intuitive eating journey? If so, friend, we have got you covered. Remember, you don't ever have to walk this path alone. You just need to decide the amount of support and community that will best serve you in this season of life. So, are you just looking to connect with other women or be surrounded by people that get it? Then come over to our free private Facebook community. If you want a little bit more support, some accountability and encouragement, then check out our paid monthly membership program. In the membership, we have multiple Zoom events each month, and there are a wealth of resources that you can plug into for support right away. And if you're ready to go all in with an online course, then check out our 11-week group coaching program. It's called the Attunement Reset. You can access all of these resources through our podcast website, intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com. We're so glad you were here with us today. We'll see you in the next episode.